title of the series that we've been working on or working through is called Walking in the Spirit. Right? Let's go to the foundational scripture that we started with, and we'll begin with that, and we'll do a little bit of a review. John chapter 3, in verse 3, goes, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, this was what we started with when we were looking at, all right, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But so Jesus is a way, and that way is truth, and that way is life. So what does it mean to be on the way with Jesus? You know, where are you going? What are you doing? Okay. When you walk with somebody, what do? You talk, right? Scriptures speak of bad company corrupts good character. Walk with the wise and you will be wise yourself. In Proverbs it says that. Why? Why, if you're walking with the wise, you become wise yourself? Because if you walk with the wise, you talk with the wise. If you talk with the wise and you spend time with the wise, that wisdom that's in them will rub off on you. That wisdom that's in them, the lessons that they've learned, the things that they understand. You know, I used to spend a lot of time in Sri Lanka with my grandfather here. I used to spend just a lot of time talking with him, you know, about just his business background and all that, just about business and what he did and life lessons that he had and all. So a lot of things that he learned from life, you know, now he's gone on to be with the Father, but a lot of things that he had learned in life, you know, he shared those lessons with me, so that for me, I can draw on some of the stuff that he learned, and I can take the things that were good and utilize those in my own life, and the lessons, the mistakes that he made as well, if I choose to listen, that I can also save myself from making some of the same mistakes that he made. So that's just, you know, somebody in my life, a natural person that I spent time with, that, you know, now since shared a lot of things with me and has gone on. So all of us are coming through this life. But while we're coming through this life, we are all walking out a path. So there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death, Proverbs 14. So there's a way that seems right to people. There's a way that seems right to the natural mind. There's a way that seems right to the mind apart from God, which the vast majority of the world is on that way. But in the end, it leads to death, destruction. It's part of the kingdom of darkness. Versus the way of light and truth, which is Christ Jesus, and where does that one lead? So we're talking so when Jesus started talking about, look, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you experience this, you're delivered out of this world. I mean, it's a very real delivery. Just like a child is born and the child has to be delivered, the same thing when somebody has to be delivered out of this world from the power, like we remember in Acts when we were looking at, we've looked at that several times now, Paul speaking about his Damascus Road experience and what Jesus said to him. Here, actually, might as well go there. That's all the thing with the Bible study. study the Bible. Yay. Okay. Acts 26, where in verse 15, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He's speaking to Paul. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So everybody is walking this life out a certain way. And there's a way of destruction. There's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end leads to death. There's a way of darkness, people blind. Jesus talked about the Pharisees being blind guides, and anybody that followed them would fall into a ditch with them. So why are they blind? Well, they're one thing, their eyes are closed, they're spiritually blind, but they're also walking around in darkness. So but Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus being the light that came into the world, he now is a path. So one thing that Jesus talked about here when he was saying, all right, look, somebody needs to be born again, they need to be born of spirit. And then, so Nicodemus was having trouble, you know, understanding that, because again, too, they had physicalized so much of the spiritual reality. So they had physicalized so many things that were of spirit. So, and because God had done that under the old covenant for the sake of them having a natural example of a spiritual reality. So like the tabernacle, you remember? You know, it was when Jesus went, when Moses, when he was given the instruction to build the tabernacle, God said, look, build it exactly like this, because I'm going to give you a natural example of a spiritual reality. So here you have your outer courts, you have your inner courts, you have your holy of holies, you have all these, your holy place, you have all these things set up like this, because I'm going to give you this example so that you can relate, because at this point you can't cross into spirit, because the way hasn't been made for you to be born of spirit, like, because Jesus is the firstborn of spirit. So the way is made with Christ to be delivered out of this world, to be delivered from the power of darkness into light. But in that process, what happens is now you're put on a way. So it's not, it's, so people have been misled when they're said, oh, okay, now just come to the front, raise your hand, pray this prayer. I didn't catch that one. Okay, so one thing that happens is he like leads us on a path. Now Jesus said, look neither here nor there, for the kingdom is within you. You know, because they said, all right, where's the kingdom going to come? And Jesus said, look, it's not, it doesn't come without outward manifestations, but the kingdom is actually within. So the path that Jesus takes us on through life is both is an experiential path that also takes us deeper and deeper within to the core of who he is inside. So like the experiences that he allows us to go through, the things that we struggle with, so he said, consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds, because the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, hope does not disappoint. The reason is because when you go through this stuff, it chips away at the flesh and all the extras and Christ in you, the hope of glory, is revealed. So you continuously get stripped away on this path when you're walking with Christ, where what ends up being left and remaining is really him. So we're called ambassadors of Christ. We're called ambassadors in this world. Well, an ambassador represents what? If you have an ambassador of Jamaica, yeah, they're representing Jamaica. they're representing the place where they're from. So for us, we are citizens of heaven. We are children of God. We're representatives of Him, but He strips away who we are on the path when we're walking with Him, so that it really is Christ in us that's ultimately left, that's ultimately what people see, that shines through us. So you have to embrace that process. If rather than fight it and to try to hold on to the world, we already went through that five-part series on the world. Love not the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, and everything about what the world and the world system is about, we set up a pretty good foundation for that one. But now, what God does is He leads us out of the world. So the path of spirit, the path of walking in spirit, walks us through the minefield of this world that's set up to entrap and enslave and keep you wrapped up in it for the ultimate harvesting of the soul. So, I mean, you talked about Audrey a couple times ago where, like, you know, there's some movie that you'd seen where it's just like, gosh, this guy, every time he tried to do it his way, one way there was a trap, he fell to that, then he tried to do it again and he got a chance to do it again and he went another way, that was a trap as well. So continuously being trapped in the world, because honestly, without the empowering of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God leading you through, you will be stuck. You will fall prey to the worries, the riches, the pleasures, the entanglements that take place in the world. See, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it to the full. He also came to set the captives free. So He sets people free, but still, when people don't trust Him, and another word for faith is trust. They're the same word. When people don't trust Him, they stay trapped. When they don't have faith in Him, they choose the world, but they still want to have some of Jesus as well. You know, but ultimately they're not walking the path with Him. So we'll go into that a little bit tonight about a couple of things we really want to cover tonight. Is one is that walk of faith, but then also some tools to help cultivate that hearing ear. That's what kind of I promised last time that we would talk about the ear. You're like keeping me honest. Okay. Yeah. So we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. So let's see. Let me go back to this here. Wait, any questions though from what we've gone through last couple? Nay? Okay. You've been listening online. You're allowed to. If you've been listening from another country and you visit. Sure, please. Go for it. Okay. So, now one thing when Jesus was talking about those that are born of spirit, those that are delivered out of the world, out of the power of darkness, delivered like Paul was, delivered like Peter was, delivered like Philip, delivered like the people that you read about in Scripture and the people that you know this very day, the things about them is that, well, one thing he said is that, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. Everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, but Jesus also said, my sheep hear my voice, John 10:4, or 10:3 and 10:4. My sheep hear my voice, they won't follow another, they won't follow the voice of a stranger. And He leads His own sheep. He calls them by name and leads them out, and they follow Him. So though to the world they look like they're just kind of going, they can't get a handle on them, but really they are those that hear the voice of the Spirit, that hear the voice of Christ, and follow Him and do exactly what He says. Those are the ones who are truly born of Spirit. So there are many that, you know, say, oh, you know, have you been born again? Have you been, you know, they throw these words around. But it's just jargon, because Jesus clarified what it means to be born again. He's like, right after that, He's like, look, if somebody's born again, this is what they're like. You know, they follow my voice. They follow me. They're on the path with me. So, you know, if you're going to follow him, you have to take up your cross and follow him. You have to die to the world and to yourself in this world, and to what you have to lay all of that down and go on the way to die with Jesus. That's really the only way that you can come through. But that's also the path that he takes you on if you really will embrace it. So now, when we started this series, we made some assumptions about anybody that would listen to this or would work with this material, is that, because it's not for everybody. This is a minority series. This is something that's for a very small group of people. Because, for one, the majority of the world is not following Christ. The majority of the world is, so they're out. And then even those that are within, you know, the structures of organized religion or whatever that even claim, even there, it's like the wheat and the tares grow together. It's for those that have chosen to, that really say, all right, Lord, your way, not mine, every day. You know, those are the ones that this is for. Those are the ones that this is, those that are really serious about their walk with Christ, not the country club people. So, okay, so, but some kind of parameters for this is that God has woken somebody up in spirit, so they've begun that process. No one comes unto the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So the Spirit has drawn them. They're awake in the Spirit. Their eyes are now open in the Spirit. This is also for people that really want His will. So the decision of their heart is, God, I want your plan, I want your purpose, I want your direction, your kingdom come, your will be done. That prayer is true in their heart. It's not something they just say by rote, but they're actually asking for Proverbs 3 to be manifest in their life. And, you know, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, He will direct that path. You know, so that here, let me flip there really quick. I don't want to paraphrase it on you. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 says, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So you may have many, many ways that are available in front of you, but what the Lord says is, look, acknowledge me, trust me, seek me, pray and ask for his kingdom to come, his will to be done, yield to that, and then he will direct your path. So he will show you, this is my way, this is the way that you need to go. Now, to the world, those that follow and walk in spirit make no sense, because the world has one way. The world has a track for everyone that will follow and walk in it. And it's, here's your life, it's right there in front of you. You're born, you do this in school, you get your college degree by this point, you get your master's by this point, go for it. Now you're hot.
No,
not yet. Okay. So it has these different tracks. It, you know, you'll by this point you'll do this, by this point you'll do this, and everything is. And but what is it? It's a system that harvests your labor, harvests your energies. All this thing is designed to tap the soul that God has put in you, that is infinitely powerful, because it's made in the image and likeness of God, and it's designed to trap you and to get you to give it up by your free will. Because God also encourages the use of your free will. It's you won't override that. That's why even when he was teaching people to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Ultimately, I yield my will to yours. I take the free choice that you've given me, and I choose for you to be able to do this, and I get off the throne of my life and I ask for that. Right? Okay. You know, back to the assumptions a little bit again, that you're open for whatever it may entail. So whatever God's plan is, so you, whatever His will is, you want that. Not just so you can consider it, but so you can actually do it. You know, because most people want to know God's will so they can consider it. And it's like, nice to know what God's will is. I don't think I want to do that. You know? And then they keep thinking, again, a way that seems right unto them, to men, but in the end leads to death. They keep thinking that the way that they would go would be the best one. So they don't trust God, ultimately, that He really does have your best interest at heart. The way that He would lead you would be the way of truth and life, peace, that it would actually be that it would be a full life, that it would be an abundant life. So people really don't trust God for that. So then in the end, what do? They put their trust in the world. They put their trust in the world to give them a fulfilled life. They put their trust in the world to make something out of them, to give them some reason, some significance. And it doesn't. The world is run by what? The prince of the power of this world, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So, but what God does is when somebody comes on the path with Him, He leads them in a way of life. He leads them in a way of peace. He leads them in a path that will ultimately be a fulfilled life. But you have to trust Him in that. And it's a stretching experience, because that path also leads to the death of self. So it's not an easy road, but it's the right road. It's the one that ultimately you look back and you're like, oh, I'm so glad I went this way with Him. Even though all the way along the way it was like, gosh, you know, this is, you know, but you go through so much because the experiences that He takes you on as well. But you look back, it's never boring. The walk with Christ is never, ever boring. And the world is actually incredibly boring. The reason they have reality television is because most of them don't have a life. In and of themselves, they have no life. You know, they have no... They need a show called Friends because they have no friends. So they have to experience it through... And ultimately, what do? They go back to a box and just sit there for months. Day in and day out. And their life and their energy and their time and all... And so... The best they hope for is a good New Year's Eve party, you know, or something, some kind of charge here. But what does God offer? You know, He is life, eternal life, now. So that way that He puts somebody on, the way that He walks with you on, is a way where that whole time you are walking in life, in peace, and it's an adventure. So that He extends that. But you have to be open for whatever it entails. Which means like, all right, God, you say left, I go left. You say right, I go right. You say jump, I jump. You know, it's like duck, I duck. You know, because you don't really know. We don't... At times we're aware of how intense the spiritual battle is around us. And at other times God just doesn't allow us to see it because... He's taking care of it, and He doesn't want us to be wrapped up in, you know, seeing all the swashbuckling fighting and everything going. But it's all going on around us all the time. So when He's directing us, He's navigating us through. Another thing is that you're committed to walking out, turning away from the world, or repentance. Basically, it's like, all right. Yeah, you mess up sometimes here and there, but your heart is set to follow Him. And anything that is not Him, it's like when He convicts you or He shows you, you just say, all right, that's it. And Lord, empower me to walk this out. And some things are across the board for everybody, and some things are just for you. Because for some people, He knows that this is not for you, or this is something that... because of the walk that you've chosen, you know, this may be an area of weakness for you. So it's like, so for you, it's like, all right, you know, that's off limits for you. Somebody else, they can handle it, but not. So, but you walk that out with Him. So He custom builds the path that you would walk with Him. Does that make sense? So, okay. And then also it's a commitment to absolute truth. Okay. So... So this series will be useless for a lot of people because they're not committed to that stuff. So for a lot of people, this is not something that it's a track for those that really want God's way. So for those that don't want that, it's like, you know, it's kind of like having exercise equipment in your house but no resolution internally to want to be in shape. It's like, okay, it's there, but it's not really going to do you any good, you know. I think that makes sense. Okay.
Stop picking on me.
No. Okay, a few more things though too. One is that it's an individual walk. So every person, as an individual, walks out this life with the Father for themselves. And in some ways, you can almost even say that just imagine for a second, nobody else exists at all. That everything else around you is an illusion. Because actually, the world that we're in and everything we see with our natural eyes is an illusion. So it's not, that stuff isn't real anyways. But, so while you're walking this thing out, imagine everything that's coming at you is part of the experience, and it's how you relate to it, how you respond to it, what you allow God to do with you in it and through it. So it's an individual walk. You can't walk it for somebody else. And as much as you love people and you love your family and you love your friends and you pray for your enemies and those that persecute you and all of that, in the end, you're the only one that can walk this out with the Father for yourself. So it is an individual walk. However, how can two walk together? At least they be agreed, Amos 3:3. But, so that's one, coming into agreement with Christ Jesus. But also, when others have come into agreement with Christ Jesus, they can also walk the path with you. Now they walk it for themselves, but you can actually be on the journey with some other people. And so, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So basically, as long as I'm following this thing, yeah, you can go with me on this journey. But if I stop, if I go off on another direction, don't follow me. You only follow me as I follow Christ. If I stop following Christ, you keep following Christ. Don't follow me. You know, follow me as I'm following the Good Shepherd that's leading me, and I hear His voice. So you have to hear His voice for yourself. But follow Christ. But if you're walking this thing with Him, there will be some that God puts on the journey with you for a reason, for a season, for something, some purpose that God designs. But there will be that agreement and that witness in the Spirit that yes, indeed, this person is part of that path. So you also have to be careful because too, the last thing that this world system wants to allow is for you to walk through it without giving up your soul to it. So it'll send all kinds of stuff your way along that path to get you to stop. Okay. In fact, let me show you something. All right, let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. Okay, Exodus chapter 33. Going back, going old school. Okay, old school Exodus, chapter 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites into a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Okay, so God said, here's what I'm going to do. you really ticked me off, and I'm going to fulfill my promise. You're going to get everything I've promised to those that came before. It's all there for you, but I'm not going with you, because if I go with you, I'm so ticked off at you guys, I might destroy you along the way. All right? And keep that in mind. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned and did not, and no man did put on him any on him his ornaments. For the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are stiff-necked people, and I will come up, bless you, I will come up into the midst of thee in the moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thine ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I will know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So, okay, we'll stop there. A few things. Let me read verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So Moses said, ultimately, what distinguishes us from the world is that your presence is with us. And he said, basically, I don't care whether I got to live in this desert for the rest of my life. I don't want to go anywhere if you're not there. Right? So that was ultimately it. Is that his? So here it is. They're promised. Well, look, we'll give you the. I'll give you the. God says, I'll give you the promised land on a silver platter. Everything that you're hoping for in this world, in the natural, you get it, but I'm not going with you. And Moses says, well, if you're not going with us, I'm not going anywhere either. And so it's this desire all the way back, even functioning under the old covenant, where God, where you go, that's where I go. Where you stop, I stop. Where you move, I move. And Moses ultimately saying, look, that's what makes us different from the world. That's what makes us different, is that your presence is with us. Your presence goes with us. Now, in the new covenant, his presence resides in us. We are the temple of the living God. God lives within us. He doesn't live in temples made by human hands, but he lives within the core of who we are. And so what distinguishes us from the world is that the presence of God lives in our lives and flows through us and affects the environment that we're around. So people recognize that we are different. They recognize that we are His. But those that are truly His, what are those that are born of the Spirit like? They're like the wind. And they go wherever the Spirit leads them to go. So these are those that have decided and committed in their heart, God, wherever you go, I go. Wherever you say, whatever you say, I do. Remember even Jesus. Jesus was the same. Jesus was exactly the same. Let me show you this. John 5, verse 19. Flip back again. Go back to John. Okay. More. And John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. Jesus only said what He heard the Father say. Jesus, so it's like the words that I say aren't mine, they're what the Father's given me to say. So He only did what the Father would show Him to do, He only said what the Father would give Him to say. And we are the same way, because Christ lives in us, those that walk with Him. So, let me show you one more. Flip to Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. And so you've gone through the old, now you go to closing of the new, and it said, And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written on their foreheads. So the lamb representing Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And these are they which are not defiled with women, but for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Okay, so some things about... No, it's working. Okay, so these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. So these are... So it's just talking about a set of people. I mean, don't worry about the number as much, because there's symbolism as well, but that are basically wherever.
Sure, it's not 144,000 only.
Okay. Yeah, we can get into that one another time. But for now, this is a group that their commitment is: look, wherever He goes, that's where we go. And the thing about in their mouth was found no guile. Again, Jesus is the way, the what? Truth in the life. So these are people of truth. For they are without fault before the throne of God. So in them there's a commitment to truth as well. And they follow the way, the truth, and the life wherever He goes. So wherever He goes, they go. So what this is, it's a set of people set apart unto God, where whatever He goes, they go. Wherever, whatever He says, they're about that. There's some things that they know that other people... There's a song that they can sing that other people can't. So there's something that happens with them keeping this company and this closeness with Jesus. So, you know, think about, too, even like the disciples, right? I mean, these guys, He picked 12 when He picked the apostles to be with Him, to be close to Him. He picked 12... that He could set aside to teach, to learn, to go with Him through all of His trials and all His experiences with Him, so He could train them as well. So now Jesus, remember when He's in Matthew 28, alright, let's go here, Matthew 28. Okay. Okay, Matthew 28. And he said, go ye there. All right, so Jesus came and spoke unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So this is after the resurrection and after he's, you know, shown that he has power over all of that. He says, all power in heaven is given unto me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay. So he said, what did he say? He said, all right, go. Here's what I got for you to do. And oh, by the way, I'm with you always. Now, if he said go, and the Spirit of God is compelling them to go, and they didn't go, where's the Spirit of God and where are they?
Yes.
He left, and they didn't. He left the building and they didn't. Like with Moses and the tabernacle, or Moses in Exodus 33, if the Spirit of God said, if they went and the Spirit of God didn't go, where were they? You know, they weren't in the place where he was. So ultimately, it's like, you know, so people also look for rules. They look for some parameters to set around God. And you can't do that. You just have to make a decision to be in step with him, because here he's saying go, another time he's staying. You know? And so, and what happens is people are like, oh, okay, God said, you know, go ye, and so like, just go, 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 go. Well, maybe right now is a season where he's like, look, you know, take 6 months. Stay in one spot. Let me teach you. Let me build you up. Elijah was an amazing guy. There was a guy, just, I mean, here's somebody that's just in tune with the Spirit of God. And God is like, look, you know, go here, appear to the king, say this to him, go here, I'm going to have some ravens take care of you, feed you, and water come out of this brook. Oh, go here, talk to this woman, she's going to take care of you for a little while. Okay, now go do this, now go. So he was always listening in step with the Spirit of God. And amazing struggles that he had in the middle of all of that, trying to do that, trying to walk that thing out, but in step with the Spirit of God. Likewise, the book of Acts is filled with that walk. So we're going to start getting into like now some of the tools, but Acts, the book of Acts, speaks very pointedly about people that walked in the Spirit, those that were born of the Spirit, that went and did what the Spirit of God led them to do. And last week we talked about too how at one point Paul's told, don't go into Asia, and later on he's preaching to all of Asia. So it's not, you know, don't go in Asia and now never go in Asia. No, it's like, don't go into Asia now because there's something else that God is doing. Here's where I want you to go. You know, vision of a man from Macedonia. That's where he was. That's what God was up to. So we have to, because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, we have to learn to cultivate a hearing ear to hear what the voice of the Spirit as God is saying, so that we can follow him for ourselves. And the individual way that God manifests through our lives is allowed to flourish through us. Because for each of us is made different. I mean, just for those of us that are here right now, each one of us has different skills, different talents, different abilities, different ways that we're motivated, different times of the day that we do our best work, different things that compel us, different things that inspire us, different things that... So, you know, we're all just so incredibly different, just here. And then you take the body of Christ at large. So, but God put that, he made us. So God put those things in us. So you have to allow the Spirit of God to individually manifest himself through you, and by you coming to a fullness of Christ as he flip this one really quick. Ephesians 4, this is the goal of those that would teach. Ephesians 4, till we all come into the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we grow up into Christ, into Him. We grow up into who He made us to be, as Christ would be manifest through us, as that's chipped away and Christ is revealed in us as we walk out this path. Right? So but each one will be different. See, that's why too, see, the world seeks conformity. The world seeks to franchise. The McDonald's franchising, every burger is this many sesame seeds on the bun, and you know, this may, you know, here's your patty and here's that. And it's like it cookie cutters that whole thing out, and because it's controllable. But God looses you in the spirit to, so he, okay, how does, my buddy in New Mexico says it like this, says Satan frees you into bondage, God binds you into freedom. Or Satan looses you into bondage. So it's like what people are sold in the world of, oh, this is liberation, this is you know, this is being free in the world, and it's actually more and more slavery, more and more bondage into the system that destroys. Death of yourself, death of your dreams, death of your physical body, death that just kills you, versus God, that on the path that He takes you on, you become a bondservant of righteousness, but in that path there's actually, you find freedom. But it doesn't make sense to the world. Okay. But we are growing up into that. So you have to, though, learn to hear and to distinguish the voice of the Spirit of God, because if you don't, what happens is, that's what will lead you through this world. That's what will assure that you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Though we don't live in time, but the world operates in time, but you will be exactly in step with where the Father is. So you haven't gone ahead when He stayed behind. You haven't stayed behind when He's gone ahead. But wherever He goes, you are in step with the Spirit of God. Okay. So last time too, we talked a little bit about some of the different voices even that you will hear. You know, when you, so like even inside, so like, all right, so you get up and you start your day and you're doing something here and there. Different things will speak to you inside your head, inside your mind, inside your heart. So what's going on inside? Well, for those that this applies to, this, that you do have the voice of the Spirit of God that's there, that's leading and guiding and directing. You also have the voice of your soul. The soul is one more layer out. This is that natural carnal mind, that the way that seems right unto a man, that's what it seems right to. It's to your soul. And you have to make a deliberate decision for the soul to be yielded to the Spirit. That free will has to yield to that. So you'll have ideas and thinking that is there. It's not bad, but you always have to put that soulish thinking, willfully submit that to the Father. And God said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, let this soul, let the thinking that Christ had be in you. So we have to go through a washing of the Word when we start walking with Him as well, because Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. So, 1 John chapter 1. So, John chapter 1, sorry. Not 1 John, John. Okay, so we have to go through this process of that thinking that we have being lined up with the Word of God. And see, that's why too, the longer that somebody is in the world, the more that thinking has been indoctrinated them. You know, so it's very hard for people when they come out of the world, because they've got all of that in their soul. And so they've got all of this thing that keeps them from, so it's like God usually has to do this, bring them to the end of themselves where they just will be like, look, it doesn't work. to die to themselves so that they can walk out life with the Spirit. But they have all of that, you know, it's the longer that somebody will choose the world, it's like now all of that, they've just been trained so long in a certain way. So now if somebody's committed to the path, though, he can take you through that. But it's like, you know, why waste the time? You know, why, you know, I remember I had a friend in college, and his whole thing was, he said, you know, when we talked about Christ and stuff, he was like, oh, you know, Govinda's like, I think what I'm going to do, I'm just going to do my own thing for now. And, you know, he said, I'll probably just get married, and then, you know, after I have some kids, and, you know, we need to, like, you know, make sure that, you know, they kind of grow up right, you know, that's when, you know, I'm going to find religion, is the way that he put it. He's like, I mean, he completely missed it. You know, it's like, all right, let me make some major key decisions in my life in and of my own thinking. Let me go down a certain path in a certain way, and when I've gone well far enough in life that that I come to a place where, you know, I really probably can't do it anymore on my own and I really need some help, then let me turn to God and hope that, you know, he can sort of patch me all back together the mess that I've made of myself.
Or he's using religion to control his kids.
Yeah, or you're like, yeah. And so, but in the end, what does that do? You know, what was it? I remember somebody had said, there was a D.L. Moody meeting one time, and somebody asked him, you know, how many people got saved tonight? And he said, 2.5 people. And I said, 2.5? And he said, yeah. I said, well, one person, you know, was you know, well over halfway done with their life, and he said, you know, they only have half a life left to work with, to give to God, you know. And it's like, and so that thing too is just like, I mean, this is the way he was putting it, but basically it's like, if and since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, every moment that you spend outside of life is death. Every moment that you spend away from him is destruction. Every moment that you spend away from him is drying up and a loss of what could be. So it's really a waste to spend any time in the world. And all that ends up happening is God has to undo the damage that you do to yourself when you're away from him. And it's unnecessary. You don't need that. So he leads us in a path. All right, but I digress a little bit. So you have spirit speaking. You also have the soul that is speaking. You also have your flesh. And we talked about a little bit that the flesh didn't get born again. You know, no flesh glories in the presence of God. There's a reason you get a new body. There's a reason that your spirit and your soul get detached from the body that you're in. Because the body that you're in has been corrupted. You're in a tainted, fallible car that you're driving around in while you're here. And so, and it has memories, it has desires, it has, so what you have to do with the flesh is bring it under subjection and give it no place. You have to yield your flesh to the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God leads and guides and directs how you live out your life here. And so it's like, realize that I mean, if you just did everything your flesh said, you know, what would you do? What would you be? Yeah. I mean, we know some people like that. You can answer, go ahead. But it's like, and so, but see, also the thing about it too is that, and that kind of also ties into the next one too, is some of the other voices that are speaking as well are demonic. So what happens when people, the soul is accessed through the flesh and through acts of the flesh apart from the Father. So doors are open for demonic spirits, demonic activity to have access to a person's life. So the free will is exercised in the way of the world, and now what happens is a person has no guard there, and so now demons through open doors just come in and out of a person's life, and so then they have those voices speaking to them as well. And so it's like, and those are not, see, you have to understand too that everything that comes into you that is good is from the Father. everything that is evil is of the pit of hell and of the world. And so, you know, you just have to realize that that's going on inside of you as well as outside. And you don't own that. You don't own those things that come that are trying to access you, saying, oh, okay, this is me. No, it's not you. You know, when those thoughts come, it's not you. But what you can do is you can, by the power of the Spirit of God, allow Him to seal up and close off those doors and not allow these things to come back. And so that's a work of the Spirit, where He has to bring in healing and seal those places off where access was allowed before. But you know people like that. You know people that just, like, all of a sudden you'll be just around them, because Christ is shining through you, they will start manifesting, you know, just like flip out on you. It's like, whoa, what was that? Well, you know, that's actually not them. That's a demonic spirit that comes into them because it has free access because of something else, and just works through them. Because all spirits, in order to operate in the natural realm, will seek human vessels, will seek human agents to work in this dimension, because that's the way that it was set up. Okay, so ultimately, what we want, by followers of truth, is we want to follow the voice of the Spirit, right? So that's what we're seeking. We're seeking to learn to cultivate a hearing ear to follow the voice of the Spirit. So, just right there with those four, spirit, soul, flesh, and what could be demonic or spiritual powers that we battle against. Ephesians 6, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So with those things that are there, well, the way that you're going to be able to better hear the voice of the Spirit is to diminish those other ones and learn to cultivate a familiarity with the one that you really want to hear. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like if you had volume control and there's four people sitting in this room, you turn up the volume on one and you turn down the volume on the other three, knowing that they can still speak, but you keep them, you realize where they're coming from, and also, like, all right, here's who I'm really paying attention to. I'm really focusing on this person. That's the one that I want to hear from. So that's why, you know, like a recommendation that I give out is, like, look, start your day with prayer. You start your day in prayer, the act of prayer. Spend some time with the Father at the start of the day so that you can deliberately make sure and make a conscious, deliberate effort to connect up with Him, and then maintain that state through the day so that you know, it's like, all right, I am deliberately, here it is, here's who I'm focusing on, here's where I'm seeking to get and stay connected, so that no matter what else may come at me the rest of the day, I'm still keeping my focus there. So that if I have to make decisions, if I have to make choices, if things are coming my way, what do you say about it? You know, over here, no, that's the voice I want to hear. So somebody says, oh, here's a $1 million proposal idea. Wait, I'm over here. The soul is like, oh yeah, take it, great idea. The flesh is like, oh great, yeah, but wait, hold on, what do you say? No, the spirit says no, it's a trap. You know, it's a trap, it's a distraction. Or there's something that the Spirit will see, will know, that you can't see. You can't understand with the natural mind. The flesh doesn't know. Demonic forces may be trying to steer you in that way. But the Spirit of God knows. So He's like, no. Or He's like, yeah. Or He's like, wait. You know? Wait, you know, maybe that's not. Or He's like, you know, just don't touch it. Or no, maybe a counteroffer. You know, maybe something else. I mean, maybe He's has some. But He, let Him be the one to create. Let Him be the one to direct. But make it sure that you deliberately go out of your way to make it a point to be connected. So when we did that series on prayer, we did that four-part series on prayer, we talked about the act of prayer and the state of prayer. So the act of prayer is when you would deliberately go and put yourself before the Father and come into His presence and go through that process. And even as He taught them to pray, you do that. The state of prayer is what you can live in throughout your day. So when the Scriptures encourage us to pray continually, that's a state that you remain in, where, because I mean, everybody in scripture, they didn't just spend every moment of every day on their knees. You know, they did that for sure. They did pray on their knees for sure, but they also went on through life, but the Spirit of God was always speaking in them, and they were always praying continually because they maintained a state of prayer where you can live in connection with the Father. So whatever comes your way, you can hear His voice and you know what He's saying about it. So He says yes, no, do, don't, you know, it's like, so you're just there. And you can do that. You can do it in meetings. You can be in the middle of a meeting and somebody's talking to you about something, and you just say, Father, you know, what do you say about this? What, you know, somebody's just starts manifesting. The demonic stuff starts coming up. They're like, God, what do I do about this? You may say, leave the room, or you may say, you know, bind that thing. Or you may just say, you know, just stay your ground, whatever. But you're in a place where He can lead you through. Okay, so there's all kinds of external stuff happening all the time. So, okay, so some tools that you can use to help cultivate the voice of the Spirit, your ability to hear the voice of the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit of God. All right, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Excuse me. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, that and to whomsoever I will, I give it. And if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Okay, so Jesus begins his earthly ministry, and the first place where he's led by the Spirit of God is where? Yeah, not to Bible study, not to join the church group, he's led into the wilderness. Now this world is a wilderness for everyone that walks in the Spirit. We're sojourning here, we're coming through this whole thing. So we're spending some time in a desolate place that's not our home. But so we're very much going through a wilderness experience when you're walking with Him. You know, Egypt is a representation of the world. So when the children of Israel were saying, oh shoot, we wish we could go back to Egypt, basically they're saying, you know, we want to go back to where we know we have it good. We want to go back to the world. And you know, or at least where they had some provision and things that they knew would be taken care of. And it's like, but we come through this world. So now he's going into and dealing very, very directly and very overtly with, I mean, at this point, you know, the prince of the power of this world, the devil himself, who comes to him and is like making him legitimate offers for a limited time. So now, what are some of the tools that Jesus used during that time to come through that? Well, one was prayer. You know, another one is fasting. Now, what is fasting?
Depriving your body of basic needs.
Yeah, it can be in relationship to food. Most of the times, it can be. But basically, what it is, again, when we talked about different voices that may be speaking to you, it's first of all, Jesus talked about it next to prayer, and he said when you pray, and then he also said when you fast. And he said, you know, wash your face and then don't anoint your head with oil. Basically, don't let other people know that you're doing this. You're doing this as unto God. But here's a couple of things. One, let it be led by the Spirit of God. It's not a religious practice. It's something that the Spirit of God will lead you and draw you into. God also spoke about in relationship to marriage. And he said, you know, look, there'll be a time where two partners in marriage, husband and wife, will refrain from sex for a period of time so that they can give themselves over to prayer. So they basically, it's a... but then he said, come back together after that so that you don't get led into other kinds of temptation. It's marking over there too. But the point being, it's like, it's a disciplining of the flesh as led by the Spirit so that you can have a greater tuning in to the voice of the Spirit, and you're kind of, like we talked about the volume control, you're turning the volume down on the flesh so that you are better able to pay attention to the volume that's turned up on the Spirit. So it's not this, the religious practice is stupid, it doesn't work. You know, all you end up with is hungry. But the spiritual practice, when the Spirit of God leads you too fast, like, because Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the desert and led into a fast as well, he also gives a spiritual sustaining for that. And during that, like you read about Daniel, you know, Daniel did a very deliberate fast, but it was something where basically he's like, look, I'm not going to be polluted with this stuff that, you know, that he was offered, and God honored him, and so he just, you know, he went on vegetables and water and just some other things, and God sustained him in that and also gave him some incredible giftings and a tuning in to what the Spirit of God was saying that, you know, was there throughout his time in Babylon. He went through four kings like that. So it's when the Spirit of God would lead you into something like that, into a fast, what it is it's a basically a disciplining and a turning down of the volume in the flesh so that it heightens your spiritual sense. So so allow the Spirit of God to lead you into that. Now, I've fasted when God has told me to, and I've fasted when my soul has told me to. Huge difference between the two. You know, there's been times where people told me to fast, or because there's some church thing, and they're like, okay, you're just hungry.
And all you're thinking about is food.
And all you're thinking about is
what time is it?
Yeah. No, I mean, a classic example, the Ramadan. This is an organized, deliberate group thing. And what do? The only thing they can think about is food for that time. They get up at 4 in the morning, stuff themselves, and then, you know, go through the whole day and then at night again, stuff themselves. And the doctors are like, you know, these guys are getting, you know, they have some of the highest, the health risks really increase for them during that time, especially for the elderly, because they're not getting water and these other things, and so their bodies can't even handle the tax that they're putting on it. There's, you know, sense. I mean, it's just, it's not a, it's a worldly thing. It's a worldly way that they do it. No, a fast, let it be led by the Spirit of God. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you how to do it. He'll guide you into it. And, but with it, it tunes and heightens your spiritual sensitivity as it turns down the carnal one. Okay? So, there's another tool for you. So prayer, fasting. Okay. Another one is the Word of God. You know, just point blank. The let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to cut through, dividing of spirit and soul. It's able to test things that come your way. So when you put the word in, many, many times what will happen is God will speak something to your spirit, and He'll confirm it in the word. So you'll be reading the word, and it'll just jump out at you and it'll hit you. You know, just because that's, He works with His word. He went through a huge effort so that you would have, be able to have the word in front of you. So His word and what He said and what He's spoken, that is one way of affirming and confirming what He's also speaking to in the Spirit. So the Word of God is another tool for tuning in to us. And so also too, it's you start getting an idea of, wait, this is kind of how He speaks, because you already see it in His Word. You know, one thing I did is I had bought the Bible on CD. And one thing that I'd done is I went through like different sections and just places where there's just a lot of where Jesus was speaking, a lot of red letters. I just grabbed those chapters and stuck them on an MP3 player, and then sometimes I just listen to that. So it's just like, I mean, just the words that Jesus was speaking, because I'm like, I like it, you know, I really do. And so I mean, just different things you can do, but like even more so than just the scriptures, but just His words. You know, because nobody spoke like Jesus, you know. And we speak in connection with the Spirit of God, but it's still coming through this vessel, you know. Whereas He was just like, oh, I would have loved to see Him walk around. Okay. And also, and we'll close up here, but also is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You have to have this, because even looking there in Jesus said, you know, don't leave Jerusalem until you get this. You know, so remember when He said, He was talking to them and He said, all right, go into all the world, do this. And He said, another thing He said though is, but don't you go anywhere until you get this. Because this is what you need. Because look at what Lucifer did even in Luke 4, was his thing was, he was using scripture. And you need that empowering of the Spirit of God to be able to go, to be able to do, to be able to recognize and to have the power to be able to... That word that God puts in you is also empowered by the Spirit of God to come through you. So Jesus didn't begin His earthly ministry until He was empowered by the Spirit of God to do it. So it was when that He received that empowering by the Spirit of God, then He was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Not before. You know? And so we also too, and He said to the disciples, go, wait in Jerusalem until you get this. And they did. Those that 500 were invited, 120 showed up. Those that showed up received it. So that is, and what happens with that empowering? It also, because the Spirit of the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So there is that, like, just that light that comes through with the empowering of the Spirit of God that just cuts away the darkness. Just it dispels all the. Mentalness that people put around this thing, you know, it just like cuts through, and it's like, no, you know, those that are the Father's, those that are not, that which is coming from God, that which is not. You have this in your heart, in your spirit, there's just this witness that comes there, and God gives you the strength that's not in and of yourself, but of Him, to be able to walk out the will that He would show you. So it puts to death everything that's in you that's not of Him, and strengthens and empowers everything that is in you that is of Him. So with those, though, as you cultivate that relationship with Him, now, all right, let me close out with this one more thing. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse number 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." So, John 17 verse 3. So, Jesus said, all right, this is eternal life. This is life eternal, that you would know God, that you would have a relationship with Him, that you would be in step with Him, that you get to know Him as you walk with Him. What is the walk of faith? Well, a walk of faith is just one step at a time. You know, that's all you're doing when you're walking, is just taking one step after another. So it's just, and trust, it's just a walk of trust with the Father. And it's, you trust Him because you know Him. So when you're walking out life with Him, you're also getting to know Him more and more. So like Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to do. I mean, He's able to do what He promised. Because I've been through some stuff with Him. So you have to, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have to make the choice of your free will that you will His way, not mine, every day. And wherever He would take me, that's the way I'll go. Whatever His Spirit says to me, that's what I'll listen to, that's what I'm going with, and let Him and lead and guide that, and continue to work with the Spirit of God to cultivate the ability to hear His voice, to distinguish between that and the other voices that may be clamoring to get your attention, and then let Him lead and guide you through the world as He chooses to. Okay? All right. Cool. Stop there.